Part six. Six. I'm not gonna be sure you are following. Part six, right? Okay. Phone's back on flight mode, right? Romans 5 verse 1. These are not disjointed teachings, they are together. Amen? Okay. So don't forget, when we'll be continuing, if you don't want me to teach, we have to do this so I don't teach Romans 7 in service tomorrow. That will be serious. Amen? Many of those who are not here, just hearing Romans 7, just tell them to cover their ears. So I think we should continue on Monday evening, okay? Monday evening. So pay attention to that. Pastor Joy, please announce that. Yes, Romans 5 verse 1. Are you there? Therefore, what? Being justified by what? Faith, right? So, Jews will be justified by faith. Gentiles, the same faith, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but also we glory in what? Tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For now, so he's using the sufferings of Christ to console those who are persecuted. That's what he's doing. From verse 1 to verse 5, so verse 6 now, he's talking about, okay, yes, we glory in tribulation. That's what he's explaining. We glory in tribulation. So he's using the sufferings of Christ to also console those who are persecuted. Same way, that is why we just say Christ is just our example. If we are to teach meekness, who do we use? We use Christ. That is Philippians 2, right? Let this mind be in you, that is also in you, Christ. Amen? So everything, our example, so everything is Christ. Example in meekness, Christ. In suffering, who? Christ. In everything, Christ. So we use Christ's sacrifice as our example in everything. Don't forget that in your Bible study. So, talking about, yes, those who are laboring in ministry. Say Christ is our example. So verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man we won't die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. Say much more. Say much more. Say in his resurrection, there is much more for us. So now see verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled by God. We are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be what? Saved by his life. Hallelujah. Say we have been reconciled. Say we exist saved. Say we exist in a position called saved. Thank you. 11. And not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the what? Reconciliation. Hallelujah. Reconciliation. That should be katalazo there, right? Is that a Greek word? Is that katalage, right? Yes, the same reconciliation. So, same way he is not ashamed of us, we aren't ashamed of his gospel too. Amen. So, he said we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have what? Received the reconciliation. Hallelujah. Say he's not ashamed of us. We too, we are not ashamed of his gospel. Say we tell our friends. We tell our families. Now Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, what happened? Sin entered into the world, right? And death by sin. So death passed upon all. for that. All I've seen, don't forget, I said the focus. You know, I didn't say explain the book of Romans, right? Hope I didn't say that. Huh? You also said that. That would mean, no, we sit down with this verse for how long? It's 2 hours, bro. So we have spent the whole series on this verse. So I'm not trying to explain the book of Romans. That's why I skipped some things, especially in chapter 4 about faith and I just skipped some things. Our discussion in this regard is what? The law, right? Are you with me? Okay, that is why. Even after Romans chapter 8, discussion on the law reduced. That's why I'm stopping at Romans chapter 8 today. Are you with me? We stopped. It's in 8 too. Let's just, it's in 8. It's not even the whole of 8. Anyway, although, you know, we still have it in 10, though, but not as, when you have the, them being grants of righteousness of the law of God, and after their own righteousness, I mean, stuff like that. But it's not that heavy again. At least once you have gotten from Romans 1 to this one, you'll be able to elucidate, explain the rest. Sorry. Okay, thank you. So we stop at Romans 8 because we are just looking at the law. I'm not trying to say, like I told you, it's just one verse I was trying to explain that led to this. The real God's word and God's action, you see somewhere in my... I'm not joking, actually. Is this somewhere there? But I will leave that for another series. By Monday, we just do one more. We cap the series there. Amen? That will be the fastest series, right? Start and finish so quickly. Okay. It's not for real, so actually. It's nice. Okay, see verse 14. Verse 12 now. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. So if you want to know more about verse 12, especially from verse 12 to 14, majorly, rush to understand Genesis. Don't rush. Slowly to understand Genesis and be slowly... One and that is now one and two, sir. Okay, two majorly, thank you. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, want to go? For before the law, right? Before the law, sin was where? In the world. Which law is that? Sin and death, right? Before the law of sin and death came. Although the Bible documents everything, both before the law and everything. But before the law here, yeah, because you now see Moses in verse, Adam to Moses in verse 14. So before the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. See verse 14. Nevertheless, death ran from what? Adam to what? Moses. So that is the period when there was no law. So the law that was enacted when Moses came was which law? Sin and death. Sin and death. That's 10 commandments, that law of God that Moses preached, Abraham knew. Abraham, he knew. Are you with me? You don't have to preach that to man. Every man, when I get to Romans 7, I will explain that. Moses simply copied out that one from the conscience of a justified man. What you call it, 10 commandments, was copied from the, that is man's conscience. That is God's discovery in man. Write that down. What Moses called the 10 commandments was just God's discovery in who? In man. A man knew that. It's not special. That is why nobody told Abraham the 10 commandments, yet by default, he kept the 10 commandments. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, so verse 14. So they say, nevertheless, death reigned from what? Adam to Moses. I'm just trying not to be patient. If I'm patient here, we'll be caught here. So let me just rush this one. But I mean this 14. For even over them who has not seen, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the what? Figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Hallelujah. 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which has received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who is that? Jesus Christ. 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience, many were what? Made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Hallelujah. 20, everybody wants to go? Moreover, the law. Which law again? Sin and death, right? The law entered, why? That the offense might abound. Now you see, that is law is the knowledge of sin. It came to expand sin. Remember integration? The law now came to amplify the power of sin, the effect of sin. It now brought physical judgment to sin. So the law came that the offense might abound, but even he is saying that the law has not prevented people from knowing God. That's why he says, even when sin abounded, when sin abounded, during the period of the law, right? When sin abounded, we describe the period that the law was given. So when even the time that the law was given, grace did yet much more abound. It's telling you that even the law could not stop the power of justification. The law did not change that God's way of justification. So during the time that the law was given, what happened? Although sin abounded, but what still happened? Grace still was did yet much more abound. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the law is not powerful enough to make the faith of God without effect. It's not powerful enough. It's not. It can't. So whether in the period, even when the law is reigning, men were still justified by faith. We have Joshua and Caleb as an example. Are you with me, brethren? 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so by what? Grace reigned through what? Righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say, let's get to chapter 6, but let's just read it. Chapter 6, verse 1. Can you help me? Let's do it together. One to go. I read verse 1, you read verse 2, I will continue. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? 2. Pastor, yeah, sorry. Which series? When last did I teach Romans 6? Which series? Explain Romans 6. I actually have not built upon it. Okay, let's see. Okay, verse 3. Knowing ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized unto his death. Next verse, want to go? Now that Christ was raised from death by the glory of the Father, we should... For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not. So that word that henceforth we should not serve sin, that will imply what conduct, right? So that, what I told you that what he's doing in Romans 6, he was using the reality of our nature, of their nature, to correct their conduct. Are you with me? Are you with me? He's using the power of our nature, of who we are, to correct, to change our nature. That is to change our conduct. It makes me, thank you. It makes me better. Uh-huh. He's using the reality of what? So get that series. It makes me better. I discuss Romans is very well there. That God makes you better in your conduct. So he uses the strength of who we are in Christ to what? Make our daily conduct better. So see verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. For if we be dead with Christ, we also believe that we shall live with him. Knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead, he died no more, this sin nature, and death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. 11, everybody wants to go? Likewise, reckon ye yourself to be what? Dead to sin. So that is our responsibility, right? You reckon yourself. You call yourself who God is calling you, right? Dead to sin. But what? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I'm dead to sin. Say, I'm alive unto God. That's right. Say, I have self-control. Say, I'm not drawn away after any sinful player. Thank you. Is it pleasure? Sorry, sir. I'm not calling you player. You are I. Love you. Verse 12. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. That's mortal body. That is conduct, right? And you cannot say this in nature. Don't allow sin to reign where? In your mortal body. Don't allow. That means don't allow your members to be carried away to things that are not convenient. Are you with me? So allow sin to reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its laws thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness. Can you see that is second, right? But yield yourself. That means the things that you yield your members to yield your... It's saying to yield it because it's already God's own. Sorry, I'm a bit fast. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For what? Sin. They're on this nation right now. Because sin shall not what? Have the name over you, because you are not under command, you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. The people who are under the law are the people that sin should have dominion over because of Romans chapter 7, which we are going to very soon. Because you are not under the law, it's not scripture right now. It will be what? Law of what? Sin and death. Because you are not under compulsion. You are not under compulsion to serve God. But you are under grace. God is serving himself in you. That is grace. Amen? Write that down. God is serving himself in me. Write that down. That is grace. Law is you are. Rakim, any issue? Okay. Try and restart fast. Be sure you help people on live stream. Okay. So, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. That's why I should have told peace that day that I had carried now. Anyway, she'll be fine. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under the law, but what's under grace, right? Yes. So that is why I say that. My brain is fast. Huh? Yes, because so he's saying you're under grace, meaning God is what? Pleasing himself under you. But Philippians 2 verse, God to will and to do is good pleasure. How did you put it again? But it's God that is at work in you, both of us, to will and to do is good pleasure. That is grace, okay? Under the law of works, we imply what? You are under compulsion. You are under compulsion, sin and death, sin and consequence. That is sin and death, sin and consequence. Actions and consequence. No, there is no action attached to anything right now. Don't worry, Romans 7, we explain that to you. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under compulsion? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now start discussing the reality of our nature again. Are you with me? 16. Know ye not that to whom you what? Yield yourself, servant to obey, is servant you are, to whom you obey, whether on sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. This is not conduct yet. See verse 17. But God be thanked. Say, God be thanked. That when you are servants of sin, you have obeyed from the act, that form of what? Doctrine. Hallelujah. What is the doctrine? The gospel of Christ. You have obeyed the gospel, that form of doctrine, which was delivered unto you. 18. Everybody want to go? Being then made free from sin, you become servants of God. What is this? This is what? Salvation. You see that? This is the finality. This is once. This is not giving you a chance to disregard, to doubt. This is just spam. Whether you see the man in a brothel, in an allotry house yesterday, what, as long as he has obeyed that form of doctrine. What's the doctrine? The gospel, right? Faith in Christ. So, 18 talks about our nation. Being then made free. Sorry, where am I reading? Yes, 18. Being then made free what? From sin, you became servant of righteousness. That is what I call express what? Communication. That is who you are. You are, say I'm a servant. Say I'm a servant of righteousness. The same reason, the same thing he's saying in 2 Corinthians 5:18. He's saying that if anyone be in Christ, the new creature, all things are passed away, all things are become sin, all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled to himself and has given unto us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So every man that has been born again has the what? Ministry of what? Reconciliation. Whether you don't realize it that day, does not matter. But you have it. As I saved by the gospel, is already called by the gospel. You say, I'm waiting for the day that God will call you. You are just lying to your nation. Your nation is a nation that preaches the gospel. Are you with me? Same thing now in another parallel that he's saying here, that the man in Christ is a servant of righteousness. Are you with me? You are driven to do right things. That is your nation. That is your default. That is full stop. So 19 now say, okay, I speak after the manner of men. I'm trying to use this weak communication because of what? The infirmity of your flesh, right? Now say, as you have yielded your members, servants to what? As you have yielded your members, servants to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Don't forget, he said, let me speak after the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. So when I'm telling a believer that don't do this, don't smoke. Sorry, smoking is not, sorry, I don't know. Don't do this, don't do that. That is a weak communication, right? The perfect communication is that what? You are a man that does not sin. Hallelujah. Like a man, you are a slave to righteousness. So when So are we still permitted to use such weak communication at times? Yes, that's why even Paul is using it. But he's telling that, well, this is not really stuff. But so as you have yielded your members before to all those work of the flesh, now you can yield yourself to righteousness. Hallelujah. That's why we are instructing in church. Although it's not, doctrine is the perfect communication. But when you give instruction, let me tell you to younger Christian, it's just to help them because of their level of what? Comprehension. Exactly. Thank you. Where am I? Verse 20, right? He said, for when you were the servant of sin, you are free from what? Write that down. You have no right to be telling, you don't have, as a gospel minister, you don't tell anybody to stop sin. Sorry, don't tell an unbeliever to stop sin. We all won't fall into that trap. As a gospel minister, don't tell a man, a shadow of the devil, to stop sinning. You preach the gospel. You can tell him, as maybe his younger father or sister, or sorry, younger father, that's serious. if your stepfather, sorry, my me too, I want to go, but we have to finish. Amen. So as whoever he is, you can advise him. If as somebody that is not me as a student, as anything, but the moment you are saying you are coming in the name of Jesus, what should you do? Keep his wrong things he's doing first, though. What should you first do? Preach the gospel. Don't start from action. Don't forget, even to the man on the road to destruction, the issue is Romans 1:21, as he does not like to retain God in his knowledge. So to that man, what you bring him back to is that knowledge of God. Don't start from the actions, which is the result of not trying to what? Retain God in his knowledge. So don't get it wrong. Say, I'm an ambassador of the gospel. Selah. Sorry, not Selah. Say, Sefene. That's what I'm going to say. Thank you. That's Sefene. I know you correct me that one again. You're an issue. Okay, where am I? Verse what? Watch forth, come on. 21. My brain is. I will need one. Someone to step down. Like it's yeah, I wish I don't know how it looks like anyway. Can you tell us how it looks like? Yeah, lovely. 21. For what fruit are you then in those things which are what? What fruit? I mean, what is the result you add then in those things whereof you are not ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Hallelujah. 22. Want to go? But now, being what? Made free from sin. You become servant to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Why? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God that we have received is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to God. So that verse is just using the reality of our what? Nature of redemption to make men better in conduct. Is that clear? Hallelujah. Say, I've made free from sin. Say, I'm a servant unto God. Say, I have my fruit unto holiness because my hand is everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 7. Romans 7. Amen, amen. This is one that is like, even despite what we have seen before, this one is another level on its own. I'm actually serious. It's very common. But once you throw grammar, throw what? Context. Throw usage. You throw content. Before you finish throwing everything, it will fall down. Hallelujah. Like the first stones you throw in Bible interpretation. Someone says, yeah, no, I know they go. Someone stand like Barabbas, is asked this one. I know they go. Throw grammar. Throw another one. It's true another one. It's fall. Nothing. Amen. Praise God. So just dishy him. You know, say, follow peace with all men. And holiness. No man. No heaven. I'm here. What you just throw down? Don't even throw grammar. Don't throw that context. Just throw. Bah! Sorry now. That's also possessor. I don't say I won't kill him now. You know that's a joke? Possessor. I know he play with you again. I don't say I won't kill him. Amen. Come on, Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren? Don't forget what you just finished describing. Your conduct should become better because your nature has been changed. So when he now starts saying, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that what? Know the law. Which is what is the Greek word of know there? The first? The second no. Gnosko, right? Acquainted with the law. Know ye not, brethren? Now say in brackets, I am now speaking to what? To who? To those that gnosko, that are acquainted, right? That understand the law. I will say it like I'm speaking to those who are under the law. Not really. But keep seeing it now. How that the law has dominion over a man, right? As long as he liveth. So, well, let me say it this way. The people that Romans 7 will first apply to are people who have been under the law. Are you with me? I don't want to say people are under the law. Even they might have believed the gospel, but they were once under that captivity. Are you with me? They have at least once been under that captivity. Don't forget that. Of course, law of sin and death. Okay? Not scriptures. Okay? That law there is sin and death, not scripture. See verse 2 now. Law in verse 1 is law of sin and death. Write it down. Today now, everything is so clear because we did everything fresh. The day will come that you just have to explain things independently like that, and you really have to, you need that quick reference. I think every law since chapter 3, we have been, from chapter 2, we have been talking, saying what it means, right? Eh? Everywhere law is used. That's what really, everywhere, that is one major intention of this study. Everywhere the law is used, we must know the meaning. We must know what it's saying. I just want to stop at chapter 8 so that maybe on Monday we continue. Okay, see Romans 7 verse 2 now. For the woman, now this is, see this point now. For the woman which had an husband is bound by what? The law to her husband. Which law is that? Abba. Thank you. Marital law. That's not sin and death now. That's why you, can you see you? What is your issue? That is marital law now. Because he was trying to explain something. Okay, this is not about what Moses said. It's about normal. Are you with me? Because even in Christ, even the man is not permitted to what? To divorce, right? Are you with me? I mean, no party is permitted to divorce even in Christ. I mean, like, it's not by God's permission. God will rather love you to remain in peace and you help one another. Are you with me? Forgiveness. That's what the gospel preaches. Is that with me? I'm sorry. What am I saying? Is that with me? Are you with me? This essay is not working. No, it's working. Amen. Okay, come on. That's verse what? 2, right? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, marital law, so long as he liveth. Can you see? But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of the husband. Marital law, right? 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, I mean, saying if the husband dies, she will be freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she will be married to another man. Now, see this. I love it. It was Watchman that first explained this place to me. Now, see this way. We have two men. You can heads up. Yes, this. Which of them looks like a lady? Yes, okay. Okay, thank you. Carlos, this is a lady, this is a man. He's saying that the marital law holds both of them together. So this is a man, right? This one doesn't look standard. I beg, this is a man. Anyway, this one is strong. Okay, so man and standard, the woman is shaking, right? Something like that. Okay, so this is a man. Okay, let me go back. Okay, the man. Okay, thank you. So that's your issue. Okay, so this is a man and she's married to, okay, I have to make it ask smaller. ladies are short. Okay, at least she is. That's what happens when the man of God is tired too. Amen. Okay, so you are like this. Something like that. She's under submission, something like that. Okay, this is a woman, right? This is a man. So if this man be dead, right? This woman will be free to marry. This one looks fine. This is Ojut, right? This Ojut is small. You know, this one is so proud. You see his head. Just always like this. Ojut is just midway, humble. Ojut is cute, eh? Okay. So this is Ojut. This is who? This is who? We don't know. Hallelujah. Let me know. Come on. Less than an hour. We have to be at home. We are not going to suspend this chapter. We finish it. Okay, just see this way. Okay, there is nobody here because the examples there is not funny. It's death anyway, you know. So this is not you, this is not Joshua. None of you above. Amen. Okay, so if this man be dead, right? This woman will be able to marry this man. That is the analogy. If this woman be dead, sorry, if this man, if the law is dead, right? This woman, which is the man in question, because the woman is bound to the law, by the law to this one. But say if this one, say as long as this one is alive, they are bound together, nothing can change. So, but if this one dies, she will be free to marry a nicer man, right? Praise God. So, what is the next verse? That is verse what? We have read verse 3, right? I read verse 4. Wherefore now, my brethren, what happened? So hold on. So who now died? The law or this one? Who died? Bookie, is this one? Read that place again. Who's supposed to die? According to verse 3. Hello? Who's supposed to die? 3. According to verse 4 now, but who died? The woman. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So since this one refused to go, who died? The woman now died. That what? Keep reading verse 4. You are dead to this one. No, this one, don't forget, it's because both of them are alive that this one had the power over her. So, but if this lady dies, what happened? This one has lost power too. So, but don't finish, don't stop reading. Stop reading as death. Get to resurrection. You have become what? Dead to the law by the body of Jesus. That what? So in his resurrection, what now happens? You cannot marry who you like because you have died. This one cannot say he know you again. Now this is a new creation, Abby. Old things are what? This old passed away. Now I can marry who I like. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, not that strong, eh? You can just do that and you just be changing your husband every year. Just die. Amen. So that is actually what happened. So although he's the man, he just finished. Actually, verse 4, if you understand verse 4, you are done. You can cover the chapter. Are you with me? He has told you already how that liberty came. The liberty, because he will not describe this thing again until Romans chapter 8. Are you with me? Because now, I don't wash my name. Now, if you pick that book, The Spiritual Man, right now, it will be more clearer to you. Who knew The Spiritual Man? Wash my name? Ah, sorry, all of you. Yeah, that's right. So if you pick that book right now, it will be clearer to you. Because you see, then it's just first day I took that book, it was just headache. What is this? Lord, spirit. Hey? What is this? So because this man, this law, he has a demand, okay, that this woman could not fulfill. This man is not a bad man, but he just had high standard. Are you with me? But this woman could not fulfill the demand. But this one will help this woman to meet this same demand. This one will help. This one is only supplying. Don't forget, this one is only supplying instruction. It's not supplying ability. Are you with me? But this one will not just supply ability. He will do what he wants for you. I want the plate to be clean. Therefore, this one will wash it. Someone will say, go and wash plate. Someone will say, okay, I will wash the plate. Same place, same end result. The plate will be clean. Are you with me? This one, we said, I want. So this one we said, go and get me Mr. Biggs. This one will bring Mr. Biggs on. Both of you eat together. Are you with me? I know you like diamond, right? Praise God. I know you are in rebellion. You. Praise God. So this one we bring it to Cold Stone, right? No, thank God. They have closed tonight. Praise God. They have closed. Amen. You don't even know when they close. So wherefore, my beloved, you are now become dead. That means in this new union, you serve God. You please God. There is no fear. There is no condemnation. In this fear, in this union, there is condemnation because this woman could not meet the demands. This law is good, though. But there is something that makes this law bad to this woman. I'm coming to that now. That is the joker of Romans 7 that is not apparent on the surface. Because don't forget, okay, I'm coming to that. Let's now dive into it gradually. So you have become dead to the law. So, don't forget, we have man, right? We have sin. Write this down. The elements that we have seen so far. We have man. We have sin. We have the law, which is the Ten Commandments. Hold on. We have the law, yeah, which is the Ten Commandments. I'm coming. Now, please write down this definition. What we call the law of sin and death. What we call the law of sin and death is when a mediator or an enforcer makes man accountable for breaking the Ten Commandments. Read that to yourself and let it sink in. What we call the law of sin and death is actually when we have what? A mediator or an enforcer trying to what? Make man accountable for breaking the Ten Commandments. That means, back to this woman, between this woman, this man and this woman, that means if the law, what letter you see that, he said the law is good, right? So this man is good. So, but why is this man law wicked to this woman? There is an enforcer. There is somebody that is making this woman accountable. Are you with me? There is accountability. There is, that's why it's called sin and death. Sin, action, and what? Consequence. So, somebody now add death, consequence, to Ten Commandments. Enforcer. That is the silent part of this conversation. I'm coming. So, verse 5 now. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which is sins, is of course wrong action, wrong actions. Sin is wrong actions. Just like actions, wrong actions that a man has gathered in the state of rebellion, wrong actions. So, for when we were in the flesh, when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, because when we are in the flesh, that is clearly when we are not born again. But not only when we are not born again. Because don't forget the Jews, they were, just like the book of Hebrews, they were delivered. Paul was, remember the life of Paul before, right? He was a persecutor, he was a blasphemer, right? He said, and I did all ignorantly in what? Unbelief. But the issue is that, why? The issue with this conversation is that it's not just describing before Christ and after Christ for every man. E.g. now, Gentiles. This conversation cannot describe life before Christ to life after Christ to a Gentile. This is clearly describing life before salvation of who? A Jew. Someone under the yoke of the law. Of a Jew. That's why I say, I speak to them that know the law in verse 1. Just hold on. As I write down everything I can write down. Thank you. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law. Don't forget the law, when the law entered that the offense might have been. Remember Romans chapter 5, right? That means the law of sin and death amplifies the what? The motions of sin. For 1 Corinthians 15, verse the strength of sin, the strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is what? The law. Right? So, with the law, what happens to sin? Sin becomes more sinful. The same with this chapter. Now, keep looking. For when we are in the flesh, the motion of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Unto death, more rebellion. So, the motion of sins, now, the motion of sin there are not the Ten Commandments. The motion of sins there describes, like, when the Ten Commandments is enforced, which leads to law of sin and death. That is what he's saying, which were by the law. Don't worry, you understand. Go to verse 6. But now, we are what? We are what? Don't forget in verse 3 before, is the man that ought to die. But verse 6 is saying again that we are the one that died. And we died through the what? Death of Christ. We were delivered. Say, I'm delivered. Now, okay, but don't forget the we there is talking about the Jew that was under the law. So we were delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we are head. See that word, we are head. That Greek word of we are head is kata echo. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. Kateko, something like that. C-K-E-T-E-C-H-O. Please write that down. We are Ed. T-E-C-H-O. Kata is two words. That is kata and echo. Kata and echo. Kata is to hold something down, to press something down, to press down. That is kata. Kata is like when you are seeing all those kata, logio kata, everything. It's to press. Katakrino is to make somebody accountable. Press something down to judgment. So now, echo is to be kept. So kata echo will be what? Kept down, right? Echo is to kept. Kata is down. So kata echo will be kept down. So that word symbolizes a detention. Like when you are being hindered from possessing something. Kata echo. So, see verse 6 again. But now we are delivered from the law. That being dead, that you know that I said now, being dead, you know, if you like a prisoner that a water is beating every day, if the water now comes in one day and the man is dead. Hallelujah. The man is dead. You know, his own power to enforce anything is finished. He's talking about how the law of sin and death does not have influence on the Jew that has believed the gospel again. That, hey, the Lord now came to the same prison and he found you dead. That he cannot influence and enact that power on you again. Are you with me, brethren? Hope you know these teachings are epic, right? Most of you will not value what you are receiving here. So, being dead, where we are head. Kata echo, where we are head down. So, well, now you have been dead. In that same place where we have been head down, now we are dead. Of course, talking, I say we, but you know, I'm talking about to the man that has, that is under the law, that has under compulsion to serve God before. So, now said, that which was served in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Let me say this way. In the newness of the spirit, we imply boldness. In the oldness of the letter, we imply fear. One key thing under the law of sin and death is fear. 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 That is what he's still saying in Romans 8. We have not received the spirit of fear. So the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. But the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Father to son relationship. No more that servanthood stuff. So see verse. So the law of sin and death is when you are held accountable to the law of God. Write that down again. I know you have written it. Write it again. The law of sin and death is actually when you are held accountable to the law of what? Law of God. What is the law of God? Ten Commandments, right? Thank you. So the issue is that there was a detainer. Somebody interpreting that law of Moses in a bad way. Which Moses did. And he's saying when Moses is read, this veil is see what? Upon their hearts. Sorry, just try. Drink water, do everything. 30 minutes or so, we'll be done. Sorry, let me not promise you, sure. But this is the last one. At least this is the last one. Romans 7 verse 6. Well, it will not be up to 12. We will not spend 12 hours here. That's all I can promise. 7 of 6. No, we didn't start now. Go. So, we are 7 of 6, right? But now, we are what? We are delivered from the Lord. How are we delivered? That being dead, right? Wherein we are head. That we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, I just look at what I wrote here. It doesn't make sense. Okay. So we don't hold believers accountable to the Ten Commandments to serve God. That's why I said there is an enforcer. That is the silent part. We don't hold believer accountable to the Ten Commandments to serve God. That's the point. That head down is the point. Kata echo. We don't hold believers accountable to the what? Ten Commandments to serve God. Just try. It's normal to be stressful. This is not Bible study. This is stressful. Now, even if I do 2 hours normally church now, you just odeshi, right? I say I do 2 days of teaching like this. That's the next time you will. Yes, and may God, may it come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. So the man that needs a mediator, a detainer, also is a man under the law. That is he that is yet to believe the gospel. See verse 7. What shall we say then? Now this is where a lot of people get it from. 7. Say, what shall we say then? Is the law bad or is the law sin? God forbid. Are you with me? You know, if this one is talking about law of sin and death now, we say yes, so it's bad though, right? But when he says is the law bad, what is he talking about? 10 commandments. So is the 10 commandments bad? No. E.g. now, he said, God forbid, nay, I had not known sin. But the law, for I had not known laws, except the law has said what? Thou shalt not covet. Oh, so thou shalt not covet is part of what? 10 commandments, right? So he's talking about 10 commandments. But see what now happened. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. What we see sin here imply? Sinful nature. My unregenerated state. Are you with me? So now you can see that this man now has 2 issues. He has 2 main issues. An enforcer of the law and what? His own unregenerated state. Are you with me? He's never talking about the expense of a believer. And now, think about this. Why is this thing now? So, therefore, in these 2 conversations, in these 2 streams right now, if we have 2 issues of this man, we have an unregenerated state and we have an enforcer. Why do you think, since we know that Paul is writing the letter to the saints, right? That means saints, normally they don't have what? They don't have an unregenerated state. But don't forget 2 Corinthians 3, when Moses is read, what will happen? The veil is upon their heart. So what is he trying to take away from their mind? That mindset of an enforcer. Somebody still trying to hold them accountable to us, the law of Moses. But now he's still discussing the life they live when they were yet unregenerated. Thank you. So, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. They have not known the laws. That's verse 7. But, Rafa, are you flowing? Thank you. But by the law, for I have not known sin except the law has said that shall not covet. Verse 8. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, what happened? Sin was dead. That means sin was powerless. See, talking about without the law of, not the law, now, the law here will not mean what? It should be sin and death, right? Without the law of sin and death, which is an enforcing of the 10 commandments. But not just say sin and death, though, because the law initially meant 10 commandments. So why this one amplifies sin is because of an enforcer, someone making them accountable. So anytime you are explaining sin and death in this chapter, quickly explain this as that is being held accountable to what? 10 commandments. Thank you. So, the way I wrote this in my notes here, I said, why will sin take occasion of the commandments? 2 problems. Number one, the way the commandments is explained, which is an enforcer. Let me be slow. Why will sin take occasion of the 10 commandments? All the commandments. You know, like Pastor Nanga said, he said, you know, when these commandments are said again, repeated in all the gospels, you never use the word 10 commandments again. Are you saying? Just said that Jesus reduces to how many? 2. Love God. Say, what is greater commandment? Say, love God with all your heart. It's not saying you should any action. Where should you love God? Ask. To believe the gospel. Then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So it is these 2 that is being that. Now, 2 that see, Moses copied it from where? Conscience. He copied it from that inner discovery of God. It's not a new thing. Abraham knew it. Adam knew it. They all knew it without being written anywhere. Are you with me? So it's those two that was explained as 10 commandments. In 10 commandments, the basic one, the key one, that we have 2 anyway. We have 2 that really talked about faith in Christ. That should be 1 and number 4. 1 should be, thou shalt not have any other God before me. Are you with me? Yeah? to have God without, that is faith. That is talking about faith. And before, when he's now talking about Sabbath, are you with me? Sabbath. Sabbath is the real one that I can say describes the what? The what now? Faith in Christ. Rest in Christ. I'm still coming there anyway. Don't worry. I'm coming there before I finish today. Now, okay, so I'm in verse 9 now. So, okay, I said two problems. Number one, the way the commandments is explained. So it is the way those 10 commandments, especially the conduct part, is the way that it is explained that now results in amplification of sin. Is the way the 10 commandments is explained that now results in what? Amplification of sin. Number two, man is in his unregenerated state. Those are the two problems. Number one is the way the commandments are explained. Number two is that man that you are even explaining it to is not even able to do what you are telling him to do. He is in his unregenerated state. So verse 9, this is the one that takes a lot of people off balance. Just throw context and content at it. And once you are seeing stuff like this, please figurative. Man is unregenerated state. And with the way the commandments is explained, those are the two problems. Now see verse 9. Everybody wants to go? For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. This is... No, when someone is saying... Now see the way he's talking. I was alive before the law. Sin revived and I died. And he's still talking. Are you with me? So that is figurative. So write this down. That is not talking about eternal life. He's not saying, I have eternal life before the law was given. No. First, cancel that from your mind. When he's saying, I was alive without the law, that implies I was innocent. Sin revived and I died. I felt guilty. Innocence and guilt. Simple. That's verse 9. Innocence and what? And guilt. Why? Why? Is still because of the way the commandments was preached into what? Sin and death. So I was alive means what? I was innocent. But when the commandments came, what happened? Sin revived and I died. Are you with me? So that can talk about the period before Paul actually knew the law of sin and death. And that is not really only talking about the experience of Paul, talking about the experience of every man that was under the law. Is that clear? Exactly, brother. Okay, so see verse 10 now. And the commandment which was ordained to life. Can you see now? No, that is not sin and death now, right? That's what? The 10 commandments. It's explained everything though. Verse 10 now. And the commandment which was ordained to life. Let me wait for you. Amen. Where are we? Where is this? So, and the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So, what is the commandment that was ordained for life? The 10 commandments, which is faith in God and love for sins, right? So, why did I find it unto death? The way it is explained and my unregenerated state. Like, the way I wrote it down in my notes, it's like, don't forget, what is in 10 commandments? Now, let's now split it further. Faith in what? Christ and what? In what? But, excuse me, in what priority? Which one comes first? Faith in Christ, right? Then love for sins. So, when he's saying there that the commandment was ordained to life, I found to death, what will happen? If you are hammering on that love for sins without explaining the faith in Christ, law of sin and death will happen. Are you getting it now? So which one should Moses have spent more time explaining? Faith in Christ.
That means there's a priority. Because it is that faith in Christ, what happens in the faith in Christ, is what will empower believers, so the one that believe towards, to walk in the newness of life, according to Romans 6. Thank you for getting that. Script it down in the way you can understand. Just happy for Brother Raphael. That's awesome. Amen, amen. This is just worth everything, eh? This is the greatest investment. And now I've achieved more in life, much in life. But seeing men learning the word like this gives me joy. I hope you know what we are studying here today for life is there. It's on you for life. See the so much repetition from chapter, from, you know, it's to make it sink. 20 years to come, everybody bring Romans 7, nothing. You don't have to bring your note again. Sit down. Hallelujah. Say, are you ready? We must ask God, are you ready? It's not be 30 minutes, right? Say, are you ready, Neil? You want to know? Are you ready? And the way I'm teaching you here, I'm not teaching you so that you can anything, go to advanced seminary, doctor, you know. No. First, explain. First, download like 2 hours. Download 3. Now tell you, okay, go and listen to the remaining 4 hours on the website. That's a believer. That's you. Amen? You are not the one that use Edifice and Dr. Raji as an escape route from what? From teaching. No. Amen. Thank you. That's why we are not in our branches. We are not saying, go and be playing our tape to them. Just play it. No, go and teach it. It's not play it. Teach it. Amen, amen. Thank you. So, where am I? Verse 11, right? Okay. So, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me and by it slew me. This is what I wrote in my notes. When you say 11, right? For sin, taking occasion by the what? Commandments, deceived me and by it slew me. Hope you are seeing that slew cannot be me, it killed me, right? When you are reading, I was alive before. Killed me here too with the word figurative. That would mean I felt guilty. I became guilty. I'm now held under guilt, inferiority, condemnation. So, sin taking occasion by the commandments. And I wrote in my note, I said, this is what happens when you give an unbeliever or when you give an unregenerated man the responsibilities in the new creation. This is what happens when you give an unregenerated man the what? The responsibilities of the new creature. Verse 12. 12. Let me wait for you. It's easier said than written. So I respect you all. We are both tired, don't worry. Tired, you are tired. But God will must serve. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 12. Wherefore, the law is what? Holy. Hallelujah. And the commandments holy, just, and good. Have you seen it? Was then that which was good made dead unto me? God forbid. But what's the issue? Say, but sin. That means my nature. But sin. That it might appear sin, walking death in me by that which is good. I guess it means by the commandments. That sin by the commandments might what? Become exceedingly sinful. Hope you have seen why I have said that that enforcer is a silent part of this conversation. Very silent. That is what I saw. If you don't bring out that man. Because do you know what? I don't have to. No, I think I wrote it here. Yes, that's where I'm going. Okay, I think that's what I have to say next. Because why will sin be strengthened by the commandment? Why? Why should it? If the commandments are good, then why should sin be strengthened? Why should a sinful nature be strengthened by the commandment? It is because of the way the Ten Commandments is preached. Not the Ten Commandments itself. So that part, enforcer, is that detainer, mediator, is a silent part of this conversation. Is the real issue. The one explaining the commandments. When Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. That is why we had the 613. I don't know who counted them. Terrible ones. So they are the explanation of the Ten Commandments to the man in sin.
Is that where they are losing? Come on, fast, pastor. Where? Yes. It is. Why will sin be strengthened by the commandment? It is because of the way the Ten Commandments is preached. That's why he said, when Moses is read, when Moses is read, the veil is what? Yet upon their hearts. So I said, that is why we now add that 613 terrible laws status. 613. That's why we add it. 613. I don't know who counted it. So, the 613 terrible laws are the explanation or the preaching ministry, the explanation of the Ten Commandments to the man in sin. Amen. Praise God. Now, right now, let me know what you are doing. Like somebody. No, I slept before we got home. I'm serious. They were moving us. Okay. Sorry, that should not enter my message. But we preach not our family. We preach Jesus. Now, another thing I note. I said, do you know I can preach the Ten Commandments to you now without making you condemned? Yes or no? Did Paul teach right conduct? Was it to an intent to make man guilty? No. See what he said in 1 Timothy 1 verse 8. That's why it's just, Bible is just sweet. You must look at it very well. I just put cutlass in that chapter once. I saw that man. I kept dividing it line by line. One verse, not verse, one word by other. I say, hey, somebody is here. Somebody is here. It's so quiet. First Timothy 1 verse 8. Slowly, want to go? But we know that the law is good. But what? If a man uses it the right way. That is the point. So how do we have the 13 issues? Using the law the wrong way. E.g., when I have the law with me, Ten Commandments, which is faith in Christ, love for sin, and I meet an unbeliever, which one should I major on? Faith in Christ. Once he has now believed, then I will now teach him conduct as taught in Romans 6. Not that I will be given a man that has not believed the gospel things to do. And to not make matters worse, I will now be making him accountable for not doing it well. No. Come on, try and write it down the way you can. Just try. So, if I meet an unbeliever, my priority, my preaching and teaching will be what? Faith in Christ. The faith part of the Ten Commandments. Which is Sabbath and perhaps the verse 1. Maybe that one is about faith too. So, verse 14. For we know that the law is what? Okay, come on. Let me wait for you. Romans 7:14. Romans 7:14. Come on, fast. For we know that the law is spiritual, but what happened? I am carnal, sold under sin. Talking about his own what? The unregenerated state. Because you are telling a man that is not regenerated to keep the Ten Commandments. 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I want, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. 16. Want to go? For if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So, what is coming to the conversation? Who is entering? Come on, think now. Intelligent. Eh? Sir? No, this is not the enforcer now. Somebody is entering now. A new enforcer has been there since. This is not sin. Come on. He's sin, but there's a good man that is entering. See what he's saying? That means, say, for that which I do, that means there's a good I want to do. That's where I'm going. Abi, there's a good that I want to do that I'm not doing. But there's an evil that I don't want to do that I'm doing. So where did that good that I want to do, where did it come from? Conscience. And conscience is what I have been calling God's revelation, even to the man in sin. Now I've told you that Moses copied the Ten Commandments from where? From that A to B, right? A, B, C. Are you with me? When man genuinely receives A. So if you don't understand A, B, C, you have to get what... Can the Bible be wrong, right? There is two. Thank you. It's not really one. It's not just one part of... One to two, that's where you always say, meaning of when we say ABC in this place, that's where you get it from. Okay? And that one is under Johnny on his own. So it's that is where most the Ten Commandments are not the where God first talked about them. God has revealed them to the heart of man. Imagine, see that Sabbath. Ah! Just rest. It's there. It's there. Hallelujah. It's there. So he's saying my conscience wants to do good. And now, so but I'm doing the but conscience, no, conscience is not spiritual. Are you with me? Eh? It's what I call it revelation of God to the spirit. You know, I've told you that even the man in sin, can he yet receive from God? Hello, can he? The man in sin, can he yet receive from God in the spirit? Yes. I'm not saying he's joined to God. He's not joined. Okay, all the prophets, are they not in sin? They have the Holy Ghost. Hello? No, they don't. Sorry, I get. You know, I've been standing since now. Sorry, sir. Let's finish. Amen. So the man in sin yet had the revelation of God. That is conscience. Conscience, that is what, okay, let me just say, what people, different conscience are, people can say they have different conscience. I didn't know different conscience nowadays. But Bible's conscience in that place is that is that God's revelation to the man, to man. Simple, to the spirit of man. Hallelujah. That means there are things that God has just, and now, Paul now says, yeah, that's verse 16. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That means he's saying that my conscience, right, and the law is what? It's one and the same. Do you get that? Do you get that? He's saying that my conscience and the Ten Commandments is the same. If I do that which I do not allow, that means truly my conscience is saying I should not steal. Truly my conscience is saying I should not what? I should not do this verse. Truly my conscience is saying this, but I find myself doing them. But since I know inside, even without the law, that this is what I'm doing, I ought not to do them. I consent unto the law that the law is what is good. That the law is really God's will. Amen, amen. Praise God. You help your neighbor in getting that one later, okay? Anybody that didn't get it. 17. Now then, it is no more I. Can you see? It's no more I that do it, but what? Sin. Sin. That dwells where? In me. Talking about the unregenerated state. So, that means even the man, that is why even unbelievers on the street, they still try to do good, right? Are you with me? They still try to do good. They still have good conscience. That's why, that's why unbelievers are not just cutting the head of everybody up and down. They see a standard revelation of God in there that you should be good. But most of them, what did they do? They will only focus on that goodness. They will leave that faith in Christ. It's there. It's there. Why? Paul said, God has revealed it to them. It's eternal power and Godhead. All of them. Amen, amen. If you want to know if God has revealed to them, try and die and come back again and don't believe the gospel. And go to one place where there's no gospel. You will know. That God will see, God will yet find you. Don't forget what I said, God had time for his man. That is the funny part. Every man, he has time for you. He will sit down with you for all that 85 years. He will sit down with you every day. Hey, that's his power, actually. Eh? That's his power. He will give you enough time, long suffering. Every event, every day, faith in Christ. He will communicate it to you, causing you to understand through the things that are around you. Oh, hallelujah! Praise God. That's strong, yeah? It's highly strong. But it's true. That's what I'm saying so far. Okay, I think I'm still going to reverse a bit of Romans 2 on Monday. Good. So, where am I? Verse what? 17? 17. Now, then, it's no more that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. 18 now. So, sin there would be, yes, sin that dwells in me. Of course, that's okay. 18. Now, for I know that in me, that is in my what? Flesh. In my flesh. Flesh does not mean body, okay? In my flesh, everything just talks about the originated state. Dwelleth no good thing. For to will is what? Present with me. What will to will mean? Conscience, right? Huh? Are you with me? Let's get to the end of this. We're almost there now. To will is what? Present with me. But how to perform? What is good? I find not. Why? I'm not regenerated. So, what is that good that the conscience wants to do? The 10 commandments. Thank you. So, that conscience, in my notes here, that's what I call the self-discovery of God's will in man. I know that's how I put it. The self-discovery of God's will in man. Maybe somebody is saying that this teaching that we are far ahead of ourselves. Well, we are not really far ahead of ourselves. It's just because you have not known what you have been saying so far. The only thing we did today is just make everything so to get that one day. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We're almost there. Come on, 19, right? For the good that I wound, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Right? That's the struggle. Conscience, which is wants to serve God, but as what? Unregenerated state. Thank you. So 24, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that is in me. So battle between my conscience and sin. 21. Don't forget, good conscience. I wrote this in my notes. Good conscience is not enough for liberty. It's not enough. Also, conscience is not stronger than sinful nature. Write that down in your notes. Write that down. The conscience, a good conscience, is not stronger than that motion of sin. It's not stronger than an unregenerated nature. It's not stronger. Only Christ deals with that one in his death, which he has done. 21. This one is a funny one. Okay, let me wait for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 21. I find then a law that when I won't do good, what happened? Evil is present with me. Which law will be there? If you answer in a hurry, even if you are not looking at your Bible. I find then a law. What is that law? That when I will what? Do. That when I will do good, evil is present with me. So you can help me now. Let me know if you are still, if your brain is still sharp after. Struggle between what? The struggle, right? And our what? Yes. Yes, you are right. Can you just use a word? I find a principle. Simple. Let's repeat your principle. What is the principle? When good. That is not sin and death or anything now. That's why I say law everywhere. The law there is just something neutral. It's just saying, because the law is the sentence after that law describes the law. What is the law? When what? Good, Abi, is friends with me. Abi, what is that? When I won't do good, when I want to do good, what happened? Evil is friends with me. So now, that is the law there. Are you getting me? Principle. I find a principle. Or I find a occurrence. Thank you. A continual, repetitive occurrence. That is the law there now. See, where contest is just the only way out.
Imagine if you are trying to use grammar. Just in nomos, 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 is empty, nomos, everywhere. So that's why, yes, thank God for Greek word. Then you see, look at context. I find a law. I find a principle. This is how the principle works. When I want to do good, it's evil that I find myself doing. 22. For I delight in the what? Law of God after the. What is that? Conscience, right? Is that clear? Don't forget that conscience is the same thing as it was. Ten commandments. But it's now telling you that it's just trying to be particular on this now. I delight in the law of God after the word. Same thing. The conscience, what the conscience is saying, is the same thing as it was. Ten commandments. But what happened? Verse 23. But I see another law in my members. Another principle, right? Warring against the law of my mind, fighting my conscience. Hallelujah. So another law there will just mean that struggle of sin, that pushing back of sin. Because you want to serve God, I find another law in my members. That is another principle. The pushing back. Don't just say I find it in my members. That would be correct, but not really too intelligent. You get what I'm saying? If you put the unregenerated state of man in this verse 22, you'll be correct though. If you say I find I find that law in my members. If you put sinful nature there, if you say I find sinful nature in my members, fighting against my conscience, you'll be right. I just prefer to call it. That's what Paul also used. Law. I find that pushing back, that struggle of sin in the members. Are you with me? That's why I use the word law, principle again. Principle. Fighting my conscience and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is more what? Are you see now? Which is my members. So that's why you fight. That's why I call that a struggle. I find under law, under struggle, under principle. And that medium of operation, but see the previous verse 22 say, I delight. Can you see? I delight, right? I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I find another struggle. My inward man wants, there is positive in my inward man, right? But I find another law. I find a different path. So that law there will be in relative to I delight. Help me, I beg now. So that law will be like a contrast to I delight in the law of God. But I find another, there is something, this is what I delight in, but I now find another struggle, a principle, which is now warring against the law of my mind and bring me into what? Subjection of what? Captivity to the law of sin, which is now where? In my members. Can you see? Making me subjected to sinful pleasure. That means there is a fighting back that is I'm seeing in me that is always making, that is not making me to do what I want to do. That is causing that delight that I want to do not to happen. Struggle. 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of these deaths? Hallelujah. Who will deliver me? Now it's not only talking now about the only sin. Who will deliver me from all this wahala? That's why you use the body, the embodiment. Hallelujah. Of course, everything, you know, now the law, everything is working inside, right? It's working inside. Or maybe if you everything, even in verse 23, I see another law in my members. You find guilt there. You find condemnation there. Are you with me? You find guilt, you find condemnation. In that is part. It's part of that principle. So, now say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So, I wrote in my notes, I said, this looks like the hierarchy, or this looks like the outcry of those who discovered the justified life before receiving the spirit of justification. This looks like the hierarchy
sorry, outcry. Outcry, sorry, of those who discover the justified life. Before what? Receiving the spirit of justification. I learned something from Billy Graham years ago. He said, man had two greatest needs. There are two greatest things that the universal man is looking for. Well, the thing that, like, thank God for those men. They actually set me on my feet to study. He said the universal man, that every man in the world, that they have two greatest needs. He said number one, say is the need for forgiveness. It's not that small book that called the Holy Spirit. Who has seen it before? One small book, the ground, called the Holy Spirit. That is the title. Say man has two greatest. He said number one, the need for what? Forgiveness. Number two, who remember? The need for goodness. He now said, hallelujah. He said, God answered, that's where he put it. He said, God answered the first cry at what? At Calvary. And he answered the second cry at Pentecost. Hallelujah. So this man in this place is crying for what? For goodness, right? Are you with me? And I love the ground. He said, God answered the second outcry at Pentecost. So this man too was asking, who will deliver me from the body of this death? 25 now said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that actually looks like just bracket, you can bracket it in your mind here. Just bracket that, bracket it, okay? In your mind. Now said, so then with the mind. Myself serve the what? Law of God. My mind was in my actions. What do I see? The law of sin. Ah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to really dig deep. I believe that this last verse, the two sentences should be swapped. Because you can't thank God through Jesus Christ. And it's talking about struggle. You should thank God through Jesus Christ and you go to Romans 8 verse 1. Are you with me? But I don't have enough archaeological documents, enough roots documents to say that it is actually needs to be. But that's what, but you get what I'm saying? We are talking about negative sins. You should not talk about Jesus, that I thank God through Jesus, and you're not talking about condemnation again. Struggle again. Because, I can say, we shall deliver from the body of this death. So then, with the mind, I served the law of God. With the flesh, I served the law of sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ. But now, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my love. For there is therefore, hi-ya-ya, now, no condemnation. What is the answer? To them that are in Christ. Guess what? He has not used in Christ since. He only used it once, maybe in chapter 3 somewhere. Oh, chapter 5, 6, 7, he didn't use it. So, the cry for goodness, how does God answer it? In Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when we say in Christ, what do we have right now that everybody in the past do not have? Verse 2. For the law of the world, spirit, hallelujah, of life, hallelujah, principle of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free for the walking, for the words, the reality. I'm looking for the best word. The reality of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What has he done? He has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, I'm not getting to the end of chapter 8 because I will soon stop right now. So, let me see if I'm not missing anything. So, firstly, that is what. What is verse 1? It's from that Romans 8 verse 1. I think that's why I actually got that. Oh, that means somebody is in this verse 1. Sorry, somebody is in this verse, chapter 7, that is enforcing sin and death. But the first thing he talked about is that there is no condemnation. That means the enforcer is dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Telling you that, firstly, the first thing to remember is that God does not count sin against you. Amen. I know we are seeing in Romans 3 that even God, when did God stop counting sin? He has never counted it. Hallelujah. I caught you there. Imagine if I ask you now that even when did God stop counting sin, you say he stopped counting sin before creation. That means there was a creation before creation where he was counting sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he first dealt with that enforcing. He didn't say the law is bad or anything. He just took away that enforcer. No condemnation. Praise God. No criminal. No condemnation. No judgment. No. What's that Greek word? Is it criminal? So see verse 3. Romans 8, number 3. So I wrote in my note. I said, how God set us free. I said, how God set us free to please God is by giving us the Spirit. How God set us free to please God is by what? Giving us the Holy Ghost. So thank you, Billy Graham. Yes, God answered the cry for goodness by giving us the Holy Ghost. Ooh, glory. So now we are free to be good. And as an extra package, in the Holy Ghost, there is no condemnation even when we fall. Glory! Hallelujah. That's just so awesome. Eh? Even when you fall, no condemner. No enforcement of condemnation. It makes us better. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Like I love to say, God can take care. Jesus can take care of his own without the help of the law of Moses. He can take care of us. Amen. Say, he takes care of me. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, come on. We're just going to dash verse 16. Don't trip off right now. So for what the law could not do, come on, relax, come on. For what the law could not do in that what? It was weak. Can you see that? The law was weak through the flesh. Hallelujah. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and what? For sin. He condemns that nature of sin in the flesh. Why? Let me explain again. So, say, for what the law could not do in that what? It was weak through the flesh. What the Ten Commandments, right? That Ten Commandments? Is the Ten Commandments, right? Don't forget. Okay, thank you. Let me now explain this way. The law is the issue, eh? The law in itself is not what makes us better. The law, the Ten Commandments, it only explains the life of the justified. That means the Ten Commandments is only useful to the man that is justified. That is what you could not do. The law in itself, right? It cannot make man better. It is God that makes man better by giving man his Spirit. So the law is not meant to make man better. The law explains the life of a man that God has made better. Hallelujah. The law, so you in Christ, you are even taught of God, you will not steal, you will not backbite, you will not do those things. Are you with me? You will love, and don't forget the summary. Of course, since you are believing in God, you will love the brethren. Simple. You will love your neighbors yourself. Are you with me? So, the Ten Commandments explains our life after we are justified. But it's not the Ten Commandments that brings the justification. Do you get that? So once you are preaching all those things for a man to be justified, that is you enforcing it. You are saying, do not kill or else no eternal life. Now you are bringing sin and death. Thank you for getting that. Verse 4. Barrow is finishing. Barrow did not endure to the end. Okusan be a thing. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us. Which law again there? Of the what? Scriptures, right? Is that scripture? Yes. Okay. That the righteousness of the law. Okay, no, is that law of Ten Commandments? Righteousness of the law should mean Ten commandments. That is the intention, right? The goodness that we want to do, right? That the intention. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. That's why it's good to teach you. I didn't write that one down. Yeah. So the goodness of the Lord might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the what? Flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you walk after the flesh? To reject the gospel. Walking after the Spirit right now means you did not reject God in your knowledge. So I wrote to my note, I said, the new life emerged not when we are looking unto the commandment for it. Hold on. That new life emerged. Brother Pius, well done. You tried today. Well done. Almost there. Almost there. Come on. Almost there. That's new. That's right to 10. Imagine. The new life emerged not when we are looking into the commandments for it. It didn't emerge then. But when we believe and receive the gospel, when we receive God's Spirit. What's the new life? A life free of guilt. Write that down. Very important. A life free of guilt and condemnation. A life that is free of what? Guilt and condemnation. That new life emerged not when we are looking at the commandments for it. I think that life free of guilt, that is the righteousness of the law, just to serve God effortlessly. To serve God, just goodness. That's why I will put it, goodness. Verse 5. For they that are what? After the flesh. Can you see? Those are people who are not born again. I'm not talking about Christians that walk in the flesh. Are you with me? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Funny enough, what are the things of the flesh here and things of the Spirit? Well, it's not really talking about the people who are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. Or they... What's do mind there? What's that record? What does it mean? Do mind. Fast. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So they do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They were given to the things of the Spirit. So I also wrote my note. I said, as long as you are looking at the law. Okay, let me wait for you. Sorry. As long as you are looking at the law for justification and the new life, you will not get it. They that are after the flesh, they will always be getting the things of the flesh. To look at that 10 commandments for justification is to be after the flesh. To look at that 10 commandments for justification is to be what? After the flesh. And you will not get it. You only get guilt. But when you receive God's Spirit, walk in liberty. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. Carnally minded is to be performance minded. I want to do things to please God. To be performance minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded would mean to believe in Christ and to walk in a new life. So to be carnally minded is death. That is to be performance minded. It will only bring, and when you say it's death, it means to bring fear and what? Condemnation. Fear and condemnation. Verse 7. Because the what? The carnal mind is what? The carnal mind is, that is the same Greek word for mind. The one you just finished explaining. Mind. Come on. Is that the same? Same freedom, right? For that carnal understanding. That understanding that just want to please God through works. Let me wait for you. Is against God. That mind that wants to be carnally minded to please God is against God. For what happened? It is not subject to the law of God. Can you see? As long as you are looking at those things, you will not even be able to do them. Neither can be. I see performance minded. So I wrote in my note, I said, a mind that wants to please God by doing things is not the mind that can please God. Say God is pleased. Say God is pleased already. And you must know that. That's Romans 8, that is the point. God is already pleased with you. So to be that man that wants to please God by doing things is the mind, is not the mind that can please God. But in Christ, we have a new heart. Hallelujah. Say, I have a new heart. Say, I please God by default. So no guilt, no fear, no condemnation. Verse 8. So then, they that are what? After the flesh cannot please God. Right? That is funny, right? Cannot please God. Cannot please God will mean what? They will always be in Romans 7. Huh? Guilt and what? Condemnation. Cannot please God will mean they will always remain in Romans 7. That will be guilt and condemnation. They will always suffer condemnation. 9. Clearly, now told you in verse 9, that what? But you are not. Say, I am not. Say, I am not. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, be that the what? The spirit of Christ dwells in you. Hallelujah. Say, the spirit of Christ is in me. I'm not in the flesh. I'm always in the spirit. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, what happened? He is none of his. That's clear. That's clear. So I wrote my notes. So all those who are trying to be good, who are trying to be justified by keeping 10 commandments, will not be justified. God, you don't even have to keep anything. That's the point. You don't have to keep. You as a new Christian, you're not told to keep. I said that the 10 commandments right now is just copied from your own conduct. Hallelujah. You know to please God. You know to do good. By default, you do good. By the God, you are taught of God to do well. The 10 commandments only explains your life. It's not teaching you. It explains your life to you. I mean, to me, perhaps to others. You say, I know to do good. Say, I know to do good. Yeah, you know it. It's not, it's default. Remember Romans 6, being made what? Free from sin. You are what? You are a servant righteousness. You have your fruit unto holiness. Your end is everlasting life. Bam. No point. Verse 10, come on. I'm going to verse 16. We're almost there. Come on. Say, I will make it. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Verse 10, come on. If Christ be in you, don't rush it to. If Christ be in you, what happened? The body is dead because of sin. Pastor is here, actually. Pastor is already here. I can show you. No, the man can write 1 to 7. 8 cannot be 5. It's here, but we are not under law, right? Okay, if Christ be in you, what happened? The body is what? Dead because of sin. Hallelujah. So what do you think that is talking about? It's talking about same Romans 6, that your body can now please God. Are you with me? That means your body is dead to sin, but your spirit is what? Alive because of righteousness. Talking about, now you are alive to righteousness. You are alive to good things. So that will be conduct, right? Verse 10 will be conduct, right? Say, my body is dead to sin. That's why. Say, since you have the spirit of God in you, your body is dead to sin. So all those struggles of Romans, you are not part of them. That is just clear statement. There are some distinct, it's not even saying if you are coming from a bad place. It's, it is who you are. Your body is dead to sin. It's a nature, it's a stand, it's a confirmed thing, it's a in Christ thing, it's a reality. We don't argue it. We don't examine it. We don't criminal it. Okay, come on, see verse 11. But if the spirit of him, moreover, if, but there should be moreover, because I think what he's talking about is, it was positive before, right? Is the same positive or negative? Positive, right? So if it's negative, that is where but will make sense. But there can also mean moreover. So moreover, if the what? Because it's 10 is positive, 11 is positive. If it's positive to negative, that is when both will make sense. You get that. So moreover, if the what spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that what raised up Jesus from the dead shall what? Quicken, hallelujah, your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Now it's about to enter immortality. Amen? Which he finally entered from verse 21 and verse, which I'm not going to today. But he's now saying that even far beyond the fact that you are doing good things, that even that same spirit in you will not only make you do right things, it will quicken the same your mortal body to become immortal. Hallelujah. So much so, if the spirit is the one that will make you immortal later, how much less is to make you what? Walk in good what? Conduct. Do you get that? Thank God for these things are recorded. Amen. Rakim, hope you are recording. Maybe we will eat you raw. You just say that I cannot. Well, I didn't even know what you would do to me to make me repeat this part. God has to speak to me. Amen. All of you will do this. You did repetition for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me finish my own ministry today. I'm not dying. I'm just saying. Sorry. Where are we? Verse 11, right? Okay. So, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. 12. Want to go? Therefore, brethren, we are what? We are debtors. We are debtors to the flesh, not to live after the flesh. So he's saying here that we are programmed by God to live by the spirit. We are programmed by God to live without condemnation. To live without fear. Now remember how I explained verse 13 to you. Do you remember? Is it valid, okay? We are programmed by God to live in the spirit. Not, he say we are debtors. Not, you know, debtors there means we are, you know when you are indebted to something, you are submissive. So he say you are already submissive to a life in the spirit. That means that is where you walk in. He's not saying you should. He's saying that you are submissive. You are indebted, not to the flesh, to live without the flesh. Now say in verse 13, remember the way I explained verse 13, for what? If, all those things, for as many, right? Remember? Anytime we are discussing things like this, we have to talk about where we learned it to. So where did we learn that one? Jesus. How do you remember that? You are a wizard. Okay. Now let me go with your thought. What? Part 2, right? Please, that is where we explain this one very well. So it's not saying if you again. You know, with what you have been saying, you cannot say you will die again. Are you with me? Well, we also have some compound words there, which maybe I will try and explain it again. So he's saying here that as many as live after the flesh, it's not saying you, they die. The whole of you shall, is just shall. It's not you. It's not talking about you. The whole of you, ye, there. It's not there. So it's like saying, even if you live, okay, are you with this word again? Hold on, I know you are trying to explain. See the you live, open his word. Don't say yes, you are not open. Uh-huh. So you live, it's just Zao, right? That is just live. So you, it's not talking about, it's not a separate Greek word. Thank you. Also, you shall, can you see that it's just shall, right? Can you see that you shall? Just shall. Then, can you see you through the spirit, right? The year too is not a definite Greek word. So, also, the last one, you shall live. Yet, the Y-E there also, it's not a what? Separate Greek word. Are you with me? So, it's better like this. For as many as live after the flesh shall what? Shall die. And the shall die will also imply, not just the spiritual death, will imply what? Guilt and condemnation. Are you with me? For as many as what? Through the spirit, they do mortify the things of the body, they what? They shall live. Amen. They will not be condemned. Because what he's saying, next verse actually makes sense. He's talking about that the death, he's talking about the distance they will create with themselves from God. He's talking about that self-condemnation. Talking about that inferiority that you have towards God. But see verse 14. So that means, from 13, if you have believed the gospel, you have put to death the deeds of the body. You have done that already. It's not what you have to do. If you have believed the gospel, say, I believe the gospel, I put to death the deeds of the body. Say, that is my default. So 14 now, it's now saying what? For what? As many. Same as many here, same thing he's trying to say in verse 14. For as many, same as many, same 14 is what he's trying to say in verse 13. Are you with me? For as many as I was led by the Spirit of God, what are they? They are the sons of God. See, that's our nation. Come on, see verse 15. Want to go? For you have not. See, I have not. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Hallelujah. To tell you that the death there, the everyday is guilt, fear, condemnation. But you have received the what? Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please don't get tired. Remain small. So fear is one major thing that characterizes trying to do the Ten Commandments before they believe in the gospel. Fear is one major thing that characterizes those who tries to what? Those who tries to what? To do the Ten Commandments before believing the gospel. Now said in verse 16, the Spirit himself does what? Beareth witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say that, say there's a witness. Say there's a witness bearing. Oh, have you seen here that, have you seen here now where I call competition between spirit and spirit, right? Go to your spirit, A to B. Huh? So what is A saying to B right now? That we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. That's what A is saying to B. Hold on, hold on. Don't get that. Don't drop your notes. That's what A is saying to B, that we are what? The sons of God. Read 17. Want to go? And if children, then what? Heirs of God. And joint what? Heirs with Christ. If so be that what? We suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. Mm. Suffer with him. Hold on, hold on. Write this down. Suffer with him here would mean if we share in his humanity. All right, just write that down. If we share in his humanity, context, that's what will save us there. So far here, it's not really talking about persecution for the gospel. It's talking about since we share in his humanity, that is suffering. Since, yeah, it's since now. It's not if. Are you a goat? I know you're a goat now. Sorry. Sorry, you're not a goat. Sorry. Sorry now. I mean, you are not. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we have his humanity. Amen? In fact, is he copy our humanity? Or I think he's the one that copied our humanity now. He copied our humanity. Okay, is that what you are saying? Okay, sorry. Okay, where am I? I'm not trying to abuse you. Trust me. In verse what? 17, right? No, 17. No. You don't have to go. If, it's true, it's 16. It's 17. The Spirit himself, bear witness to our spirit that we are the children of God, right? And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with him. Yes, it's 17 now. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. 18, want to go? For I what? Reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should reveal to us. 19. For the earnest manifestation of what? Creation. We therefore the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. He now start talking about the immortality of our body. And the way our body will be fashioned to be like his own glorious body. According to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things to himself. Are you with me? I'm not willing to enter immortality. So that was the issue. Just give me 5 minutes. Let me. I have to conclude. If I don't conclude, I won't be settled. Of course, I can be settled. I'm not saying I'm 100%. I'm just saying, let me finish this one the way I plan to finish. So, yeah. So, therefore, before serving God, this is one key thing you must hold from Romans 7 and 8. Before serving God, you must rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, come and rest. Believing the gospel is rest. That is the point. Before trying to serve God, before trying to do his will, before trying to love your neighbor, everything, you must start from the position of rest. Man must start. Before you try to obey anything, in fact, even when we are, because even, you know, as you are reading the epistles, you are seeing things that Christians have to do, right? We don't start preaching those things to people on our crusade ground. We start by what first preaching was that rest of God. So we please God from the position of rest. Rest is pleasing God. That's all. So by default, a believer is a God pleaser. God is pleased in you. Why? He pleases himself in you. That is why, I'm trying to end now. Go back to Exodus 20. That's the last scripture. That is why even Moses, I think he tried a bit, yeah? That was why one of the ten, one of the one that was a bit more well explained was that Sabbath day. See Exodus 20, verse 8. He tried to explain it to them. But as Moses was still on a journey here, later, on his own discovery, he got it better. But that was why he was not able to talk about Christ more in typologies anyway. But see Exodus 20, verse 8. He said here, remember the Sabbath day that you keep it holy. You know, that you keep it holy. No, if it's others, most of the others just say, thou shalt not. But this one he was not explaining. Now say, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. If thou do, and in it thou shalt do no any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle. Nobody is strong. Something is there that they should have focused on. They should have progressed. Nor thy cattle. He said, no cattle should work. No, they didn't say this to astonishing. They didn't say that shall not kill astonishing cattle and the rest. Nor cattle, nor stranger that is within thy gates. Why? 11. He now took them back to something. So they want to go. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them, including man, and rested in the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the world seventh day and hallowed it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That is the predestination, that is preordination of Christ that you are seeing there. What did God bless? He blessed rest. He blessed that man should rest in Christ from his labor, from his works. God hallowed the seventh day. Say, I am in Christ. I have rested. There's something that you've rested now. I have rested. Say, I've rested from my works. Say, now I live to the glory of God. Say, I please God from a position of rest. Hallelujah. So, is that clear now? Is that clear? Say, no struggle here.
No struggle here.
Say, no struggle here.
No struggle here.
Say, no struggle to please God.
No struggle
to please God.
Say, God is pleased in me.
Say, by default, I am a God pleaser.
I am a God pleaser.
No struggle here. Hallelujah. If you don't want part 8, shout glory. Okay, if you don't want part 8 today, shout glory. Thank you. Brian, Kim, take it off. Thank you.